Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Of All Marine Radio that I have built with my hands. Welcome to my house, or at least my studio. Studio 2. Almost done. Probably be done today. How about that? How fired up am I? I'm really fired up because I'm going to do something virtually for the University of Arizona, NROTC. It'll be the first time Studio 2 goes into action next week. So I'm geeked about it. Yeah, I finished building the podium. I don't know. I got to paint it, I think. It's white. And I don't see too many white podiums. I see a lot of black podiums. Yeah. So, it's white. I'm not sure if it'll stay white. So, anyhow. Got that going on. And, worked on that till late last night. Watched baseball most of the day yesterday. To include my Yankees crushing what is going to be supposedly the Cy Young Award winner. Shane Bieber pitching for the Cleveland Indians. That's right, your Indians. Not so much last night, man. What's up? So, and then the Yankees billion-dollar pitcher, Gerrit Cole, lights out. Aaron Judge took the fourth pitch of the game into the right center field bleachers. It was awesome. My nephew Jim, he's an A's fan. A's were getting pummeled by the White Sox. Lucky for him, he was in Florida with a girl drinking. So congratulations to him. My other nephew Joe, he's a Giants fan. They're not even in the playoffs, so he's got none of it. So did you watch the debate last night? I did not. I had people text me, though. One was, are you watching this shit show? I said, no, I'm watching the baseball game. They're like, you are smarter, right? You are smarter than you look. So email me. I'm curious. What'd you think? Email me, text me, email me live.allmarineradio.com. Tell me what you thought if you watched it. Or you could text me. The text number of the program is 714. Almost gave out my home phone. What is that? What is this number? I never call it. So, it's on the website. Come on. The last number is 919. Give me 1 second. I'll give you the text number. You can bust off a text to All Marine Radio here. I'm curious to know what you, let me know what you think. And I will, I think I might have to get a new phone for my business phone. The back's coming off my old one. And I don't do anything with my old phone, with my business phone. It sits here in the studio. When I go out on the road, it goes with me. And so 714-910, right? That's the area code for Jacksonville, North Carolina, if you don't know. 4419er. So 714-910-4419. Okay. I'll say that one more time. 714-910-4419. So text me or email me if you watched the debates. What did you think of them? From what I saw, I saved myself great emotional wear and tear last night by not watching them. So I woke up this morning at approximately 4:10. And when this happens to me, it's never good. That's right. The nuclear turbine that is my brain began to function. So I tried to shut it down. Red alert, red alert. If we do this, we're not going back to sleep. Could not help myself. So I was almost complete. I was almost rounds complete out in the garage with the virtual studio. I have a couple more kind of cosmetic things to do to the video studio. But it's going to turn out. It's going to look beautiful when I'm done with it. Yeah, how about that? Beautiful. So my daughter, Catherine, my creative consultant. So I had that in my head. I had to essentially put in the supports for the podium, right? So it's essentially a flat top desk that stands higher than normal, right? Podium comes to about a little bit higher than waist level. So if you're standing there, you put your arms down, you raise them at the elbow, palms down. Got it? So hands at your side, right? Now bring them up 90 degrees, palms down. Now put a podium underneath that. That's where they stand. All right. Everybody got that. Okay. So I had put the tabletop on. I had to paint the legs white, 4x4s, and then use L-clamps to clamp those to the bottom of the podium table, right? Then I had to put some molding on the front of it to make it look pretty. And so what I had left to do was cut and then put on the horizontal supports for the legs. So last night, and I'm kind of, I get kind of compulsive about this, that I want to finish it. But I'm like, I can't fire up the saw at like 11 o'clock at night. My neighbors will get pissed at me. So I went to bed. And, in this whole thing, I've tried not to obsess over it. I've tried to, say, no, I'll do that tomorrow, which is not my nature. Normally, I obsess over it. So, so I woke up at 4 and I could feel the, and then I try to shut it down, so I'm throwing switches, trying not to do it, and I can't control it. So I get up at about 4:40, hop in the shower, come out into the garage, which is now Studio 2. I no longer have a garage. I have Studio 2. So I start building the desk. Yep. And so I've got a guy coming up who I want to help me with the YouTube channel today. Yeah. And I was telling Colleen, I'm working with Stacy Falzerano on writing the book, which is awesome because she's really smart. She's really smart. And I told Colleen, I said, you know, what's cool is that, you know, I do so much of this stuff on my own. If I have somebody to collaborate with, then they'll say, hey, Mac, I need your input on this. And then somebody else about the YouTube channel will say, hey, boss, I need your – she looks at me. She goes, boss? I'm like, yeah, I like that. Sounds good. Boss. Hey, boss. Means I need guidance. I said, that's the position I need to be. She's like, oh, my God. I said, boss, like Springsteen. Yeah. She's like, you are out of your mind. I said, what? I said, I am not. I said, you know, Springsteen, like this. Tell me you don't love the way he rips that fucking harmonica. I do. Anyway, so she's like, all right. So anyway, pretty exciting. Tomorrow, most exciting is a camera day. Yeah. Gonna go buy the Sony A7III because it's supposedly a great camera and it's got the best autofocus in the industry. And so since I'm not going to be manning the camera most of the time, I don't have a cameraman, I'll just put it on me, block the shot, hit autofocus, and it'll keep me as I kind of maneuver about the battle space, which would be the studio. And I won't maneuver much, but I will move. I'm watching video. Hold on. Something just, in case you haven't heard, an F-35B pilot ejected yesterday, third MAW guy, and I think I just saw video of it. So let me back up my TV feed and see if that's true. Developing. Hold on. This is from...
Well, a fighter jet crashing after a mid-air collision. The other jet, a giant tanker, landing on a field on its belly. What the pilots were doing when the planes clipped wings, knocking them out of the sky. And new cases of coronavirus...
So that is that's an F-35 pilot ejected and a KC-130J refueling. Had an event yesterday afternoon at Marine Corps. I don't know. The video I just saw was desert someplace. Now, supposedly, the first things I've seen are saying that it was in support of the WTI thing, which is kind of Top Gun for Marine Aviators thing. So that in the news right now. And as always, if when you look for this stuff, you go to Twitter, type in F-35, and then hit latest. And what you'll find is everything that is going on. F-35B crashes after mid-air collision with KC-130 while refueling. The pilot of the F-35B has ejected safely after colliding with the KC-130J during a mid-air refueling operation over Southern California. Was able to make an emergency landing. All 8 crew members survived. Holy shit. You can see the impact, for God's sake. Wow. Yeah, some dude filmed it. the fireball that was the F-35. Holy smokes. Yeah, out in the desert. Looks like could be Torrington Palms, could be Yuma. There's a story in National Interest. Yeah, I will. I don't know if you're up on the Twitter feed. I just retweeted it. So if you go to All Marine Radio's Twitter feed, if you're up on the Twitter, then you will see it. But wow, honestly, stunning video. You can see this. It looks like the F-35. You see it heading to the ground, and boom, fireball. Amazing. The article says that, let's see, this is written here today, September 30th. On Tuesday, Marine Corps F-35B collided with a KC-130J refueling aircraft at approximately 1600 Pacific Daylight Time during an air-to-air refueling mission in California, which caused the fifth-generation stealth fighter to crash. The accident was first reported on social media via a tweet sent out by the 3rd Marine Air Wing. The pilot of the aircraft was able to successfully eject from the aircraft and is being treated for injuries, according to a spokesperson for Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, Arizona. The KC-130J, which I believe are stationed there, also made an emergency landing in a field near Thermal Airport, which is approximately 130 miles northeast of San Diego. Thermal is a town. According to reports, all 9 personnel, including the F-35B pilot, along with the 8 crew members of the KC-130J tanker, have been accounted for. Spokesman said there were some mild injuries, but everyone was safe. Personnel also reported to have been assigned to the Weapons and Tactics Instructor Course, but it is not clear whether those involved in Tuesday's incident were students or instructors. It was also not reported where the aircraft took off, but Weapons and Tactics Instructor Course is hosted by Marine Corps Aviation Weapons and Tactics Squadron 1 at Yuma. The official cause of the crash is currently under investigation, according to the Marine Corps Times. The accident involved the short version and takeoff variant of the F-35, known as the F-35B. Tuesday's crash was the third Class A aviation mishap for the Marine Corps this year, and that period starts on October 1. 2019. So, I think everybody remembers 2018. 6 Marines were killed in 5 from the KC-130J refueler and 1 from the F-18D Hornet. When they had a collision during a nighttime training exercise off the coast of Japan. So, yeah, I mean, if you look on if you go, actually, I just some, if you're interested in following breaking news, I'll tell you what I do. Go to Twitter. And again, you see a lot of people posting stupid stuff, but you will get the latest on Twitter because that's where everybody puts it. That's where everybody puts it. Now, I don't know if this is an actual image from the, it looks like it. This is just from a website called Fliegerfaust, a Marine F-35, and it's of a KC-130 sitting in the middle of a field. And they're quoting USNI News, which is a good thing because pretty reliable. But, yeah, you can go watch the aircraft. It looks like the F-35 impact. And then, and again, without the pilot. And then you can see a picture of the KC-130J sitting in a field. Pretty amazing. Yeah, and all you got to do is scroll through your Twitter. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, so there's a whole series of pictures of the KC-130J sitting in a field. Things you don't see often, thankfully. And so, kind of breaking news. Not widely reported, but starting to see it come out this morning. I got a heads up from F-18 man this morning. He said, I'm hearing rumblings of a mid-air event between a F-35 and a KC-130. So I went to the Twitter, and lo and behold, there it was. Here's an email. I did watch the debate last night. And honestly, it was pretty depressing. This is what the nation has come to. I watched for about 40 minutes and then shut it off. I couldn't take it anymore. Something has to be done in this country relative to our elections and how we do this. This does not serve anybody except people producing television shows. I hope in the future that something changes relative to our elections. It's getting to be a joke. I watched the Project Veritas video documenting ballot harvesting in Minneapolis. Ballot harvesting has been around forever. As soon as you could mail in a vote, there were people that sought to influence tight elections, knowing that they could never get large numbers of those, but maybe they could get enough to sway a close election. The art form has grown over time. I think it's time that you have to present an identification card to vote. I think it's time that you vote in person. And if you have to vote in some sort of remote fashion, we figure out a way that that process cannot be compromised. From what I can see, this is a joke, an absolute positive joke. Makes me sad. I won't watch another debate. Out. it's kind of interesting. If you were to reform the election process, how would you do it? I'll give you McNamara's solution. One, the federal government finances, every major party, and I don't know, we'd have a criteria for being a major party. So the major parties would control their primaries. I would even seek to reform that, though. And once you qualify for the national election, you get X amount of money. Both candidates get the exact same amount. There are four debates scheduled, each one 90 minutes. and that's it. You can spend your money any way you want it, but you're not. Nobody's going to be allowed to buy the American election because you found a way to advertise better, or you found a loophole to get more money, or whatever kind of shenanigans you want to pull. That's not the purpose of American elections. The purpose of the American election is to find the most qualified people in this country to do the work of the American people. And if that's as good as it can, if that's as good as we can do, then God help us. And this goes back, you know, a few years. The people that package and put this shit together, in my opinion, they're the most cynical people on the planet. Yeah, it's gross. Okay, so campaign finance reform. You know, McCain-Feingold. You got to get the big money out of these elections. Okay? And so you got to go back to work on that. I'm not exactly sure how you do it, but you got to do that. So that's job one. You got to get the money out. So my solution is no private money in elections. It's all publicly funded. That's right. So now that we know that everybody, it's just a total level playing field. You can spend your money where you want to, but this is in fact how it goes. Oh, yeah. And then make up your mind and we'll vote. Okay, election day. Election day, election weekend takes place on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay. So it's like a 3-day voting period. And my instinct is to say there is no absentee voting. If you're going to be gone, then you don't vote, period. Sorry. Wish it was some other way. There should be a process that the military can vote and the Federal Election Committee can work that out. Most of them have access to some kind of electronic apparatus within proximity to the election. Maybe you can somehow or other work something like that out. But there will be no more mail-in ballots. What's going on in Minneapolis is what's going on in, you know, ballot harvesting forever, right? But there's a third world flavor to it. We're going to take over this thing. And these Americans are stupid enough to allow this. It's amazing. So what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to pay people money. We're going to get them an absentee ballot and they're going to sign it. And then we're going to fill it out however the fuck we want to. And we'll probably be able to generate somewhere, I don't know, maybe 20%, which will put us over the top clearly. Yeah. And then they go do it. And so, look, when you look at all this shit about our elections, what you hear is, oh, you're going to disenfranchise people. To have an ID to get to a polling place? I mean, come on. If you can't do that, then, you know, what kind of citizen are you? You're a citizen without an ID card. Who the fuck is that? Who doesn't have, you know, and I don't care if your driver's license, it could be an expired driver's license. It just has to be a valid identification card in this country that says, yes, this person is here. Okay, or whatever criteria. But, you know, show up with an electrical bill. If you have a driver's license, then maybe the electrical bill with your name on it shows me your residence. But what we do is we're like, oh, nobody can be disenfranchised. Let me tell you, if you haven't done the bare minimum to vote, then next time you can vote. This time you can't. Because if we're going to err on one side, we're not going to err on a side that can be manipulated, distorted, and therefore preyed upon. Our elections should inspire confidence. You go, you present an ID, you're given a ballot, you fill it out, it's a piece of paper, you give it to somebody. I mean, Ross, Grant Newsham was on recently talking about something that he believes is a significant story, and that is that the left won an overwhelming victory in Korea, and he believes that there's enough credible evidence to say that the South Korean national election got hacked. Now, Grant's no conspiracy theory guy, but he believes that. In fact, he emailed me specially to talk about that, and which he tends not to do. So we don't believe that would happen here in the United States. Nah, it's the stuff of gangsters and shit. Right? Ilhan Omar married her brother to stay in the country. I mean, fuck it. These Americans are stupid. They'll never know. Ballot harvesting? Explain that to me. So anyhow, so it would be 3-day voting and you'd have to vote in person. I'm sorry. No more electronic, no more, none of that. All that stuff's too easy to be manipulated. We're going to have a 3 or 4 day period. Maybe you could go Friday through Monday. We start voting at noon on Friday. You know, we stop at 5 o'clock on Monday. Get to the polls. Okay. And if you're going to be out of the country, then sorry. Or, you know, I would even say this. If you're going to be out of the country, we'll open up the polls a week early if you're going to leave. I don't know. But you got to go down. You got to present your ID. You'll get a ballot. You'll fill it out. And you hand it there. In-person voting. Period. Right? With an ID card. And then something that establishes your address in that ward. Okay, it could be your bill because I didn't get a new driver's license because I just moved here. I'm okay with that. Mac, what about all the people that mail in votes? Sorry. Get somebody to take you. If you want to vote, get somebody to take you down to the place. Well, what about all the people at the hospital that can't get out? Sorry, can't vote. You're in the hospital, you can't vote. Sorry. The election has to be sacrosanct. It has to be pure. It has to be holy. And if you're outside, if you cannot get to a polling place, sorry, can't help you anymore. So anyway, that's how I do it. Yeah, election over a 4-day voting over a 4-day period, and then after that. I would say everybody's got to have an ID, got to go down. Our ballots are paper ballots, no electronic ballots, because that way in case there's and there's no chads, there's no hanging chads or anything like that, right? You're supposed to blacken in the little thing. If you can't do that, stupid. And the machines have to, right? Machines have to scan your ballot. Wherever you heard it, turn it in. It's got to be scanned. And if the machine says, sorry, your marks are blurred, it kicks the ballot back out. Cannot be counted. Redo it. So all you fools who can't color inside the circle, you get to do that. Here's another email. Watched the whole thing last night. I sat there after listening to you in the morning and thought, I shouldn't be wasting my time like this because this is stupid. But it was kind of like watching a movie. Once it started, I had to see how it ended. How did it end? It ended poorly. Like the last person whose email you read, I will not be watching another one of these. And quite frankly, what you said about Will Cosentini came to mind last night. Who the hell doesn't have their mind made up? It's very clear. Joe Biden is who he is. His party is a group that's being overrun by radical liberal ideas. He's attempting to talk that into the center, but that's why he doesn't name a Supreme Court justice. Donald Trump, the personification of jackass, but he's the spokesman for conservatives in the United States. Who doesn't have their mind made up? I say we cancel all the rest of it and we'll just show up on Election Day. That's it. Will made that point. Who the hell doesn't have their mind made up? And what's interesting is both groups will tell you the same thing. Yeah, Biden. Are you kidding me? Painful. But where else am I going to go? Trump? I wouldn't bet my life on that guy. And then conservatives say the same thing. Trump? Oh, my God. You know, I want somebody who's an outsider. I want somebody who's going to dismantle all the big government I see. I want somebody who's going to promote business. So that's what I voted for. Am I pleased? Am I proud? Am I happy? No, no, and no. I tolerated him while the economy was going crazy. Now, he's simply the painful spokesman for what I believe in. And emphasis on painful. The only thing that could be worse is supporting Biden, in my opinion. That guy is a colossal fool. So you hear the same thing from both people. That's funny, I think. Is that the Democrats are as pained over Biden as conservatives are with Trump. You know, can he be more grown up? Can't he be this? So anyway, and then as I was finishing up the podium this morning out in Studio 2, I had the news on, so I was listening to different clips and whatnot. And what a shit show, man. What a shit show. Hold on.
In California yesterday, cell phone video captures the moments a Marine Corps F-35 fighter jet crashed after clipping the wing of a refueling plane. Lucas Tomlinson is live for us at the Pentagon. Lucas, are the pilots okay here?
Trace, the Marines say nobody was killed, but a $100 million stealth fighter jet was lost. An eyewitness on the ground spoke by phone to our Fox affiliate in Palm Springs.
We heard a really loud explosion, and we looked up, and we saw what looked to be like planes that had collided. It seemed pretty obvious. One of them was going off, and it was trailing a little bit of smoke, and the other one was pretty much a fireball.
The crash took place about a mile from Palm Springs at approximately 4 p.m. local time. A statement from Marine Corps Air Station in Yuma, Arizona, says the F-35, quote, made contact with the KC-130 during air-to-air refueling. The pilot of the F-35 was able to eject before the fighter jet crashed. He is currently being treated in a local hospital. About 8 pilots and crew members on board that Marine Corps refueling plane also survived after making an emergency crash landing at a nearby airport. As you can see, 2 propellers were destroyed and fuel was seen leaking from the wing. The cause of the crash is under investigation. A similar type of tanker crashed in the Mississippi Delta in 2017, killing all 16 aboard. In 2018, a Marine Corps KC-130 was also involved in a mid-air collision off the coast of Japan, killing multiple Marines. 5 Air Force fighter jets crashed this spring, including an F-35 on the Florida Panhandle. And the F-35 is the same jet that Israeli officials have had reservations about the U.S. selling to the UAE over fear some of that technology could wind up in Iranian or even Chinese hands. Trace?
Yeah, close call, Lucas.
They have it, the latest. How about that? Yeah, pretty amazing. And thank God, nobody was killed. So So there you have it. How do we have another mid-air refueling incident? I don't know, man. I think those hoses need to be about, you know, I don't know. How long are they? You know, make them like seven times as long. Why do they need to be that close to the aircraft? Get them about 1,000 feet away. Do we have 1,000 feet of hose? Can we get 1,000 feet of hose? How about 500 feet? How about something? But get it away from the aircraft. I mean, those guys, you get clipped in that aircraft, do you have any chance to get out? I don't think so. I need to find a KC pilot that'll talk. Somebody retired. If you're a baseball fan today, baseball having 8 games today. Only 4 yesterday, 8 today. So, yeah, pretty exciting stuff. Anyway. Hold on. One more email about the debate. I watched the debate thinking this is where we are as a democracy. You've been pretty consistent with your pessimism, and it's starting to infect me. How does this turn around? How does this change? How do we do something that I believe is reflective of what the American people want? It seems like this stuff is out of our control. Yeah, that's what's so frustrating about it. This is our American system. This is what it gives us. Well, we got to do something about the system then, because the system's fucked up. All right. United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. Got a text message. 1,000 feet of hose? Look, all I know is this, man. I don't recall in my Marine Corps career, and I've asked everybody, all my friends this, do you ever recall, you know, a KC-130 and any other aircraft crashing? You know, are we so fucking inept in broad daylight in a training mission that we can't refuel? Are we that fucked up? Seriously, you know, the way you do training is you crawl, whatever you prefer. Crawl, walk, run. Then you sprint. Okay? Yesterday, here in Southern California, sunny, not a fucking cloud in the sky. You'd probably have to go to fucking Hawaii to see a fucking cloud. Right? And but for the grace of God, everybody in that KC-130 isn't fucking dead. And the F-35 pilot isn't dead. Not sure how that happens. But I'll tell you what. They should have landed, got in their cars, and went to fucking Vegas and said, put it all on rudder block. Today's my lucky fucking day. I might as well leverage this bitch. stupid. And let me tell you, and so, and this is coming from a guy who learned how to train lieutenants in live fire, unstructured attacks. How did we do that? We started with Barney style. Okay, we had this weekend fex that we would do patrolling, and I told General Allen, at the time, Major Allen, I said, hey, sir, you know, this new live fire night attack I want to do, you know, we'll put it into our, you know, our crowning fex. And, but in that, instead of doing that patrol based bullshit fex we do, let's bring them together as part of a company. They'll have certain security requirements, but what their job is to do is to get ready, you know, for live fire night attack that's going to happen on whatever Monday night. So Friday, we get there Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, we're shooting, right? And we're working at night. Got it. Mac, sounds like a great idea. It is, sir. Trust me. So what do we do? Now, these are lieutenants that have already gone through the basic course, 5 months of kind of learning how to be a lieutenant, right? And so they know some shit. Now, they've been through a lot of IOC, too. But you take them back, and you break the fucking thing down, Barney style. Fire and movement, no handed arm signal, no voice commands. And you go down range, and you go down range, and you go down fucking range, and you go down range. And you're watching to see the morons who can't do it, because they're going to get somebody killed. Okay? And then you, when you see them, you stop this thing, and you say, yo, come here. What are you thinking about when you're not there and you're shooting? Okay? Did you see that he was there? Okay, look, here's what you have to do. When you look up to shoot, you got to know where the people on your left and right are. You got to know. Now, this is just not a training thing. Guess what you have to know when you go do it for real against bad people? You got to know where your guys are. That's a no shit thing. Right? And so you have those conversations and you do it over. And pretty soon, guess what happens? They begin to get it. And then you talk to them. So what do you do when you don't know where that guy is? Don't shoot. You move. Oh, all right. Got it. Then once you see him again and you know that they're there, then boom, engage the target. Well-aimed rounds. Kill the motherfucker. Got it? Got it, sir. So you do that during the day. You make sure it's good. Now you begin to do it at night, and it's harder. You do it non-illuminated and illuminated. Non-illuminated means we have night vision devices on. That's hard. But as long as there's some ambient light out there, you can see everybody, right? And then we do it illuminated, which means we got no night vision devices, which is the way we tended to do it at the time because we didn't have enough. So anyway, you go through it and you teach the same shit. But now instead of just doing it on the golf course, now we're doing it in a little bit of terrain. And you're coaching through that. So by the time you actually have to go through and do the thing, and you don't, when we would do this live fire night attack at a place called David's Crossroads, lieutenants, I mean, they'd been out there. They hadn't approached it from the direction we were approaching it. They hadn't been on the ground. And so they were doing that for the first time. But they knew the concepts in their head. If I can't see the guy on my left and my right, I move. I don't shoot. So then you do it, right? And so and this is how we did it, just so everybody knows. So we're moving through the woods. Yeah, running through the jungle with my M16. Shit like that, right? Except we're not singing. So what we're going to do is we're going to move in three squad columns in this platoon. Okay? So the platoon's online, squads are in a column, and we're going to close with the enemy. Right? And once we break this tree line, we're going to take off and we're going to be running. Like that scene in Band of Brothers when what's-his-face, Dick Winters, is running across the field like that, except at night. Right? They're there. We got to cross this open ground, and we know where their OPs are. And at some point they're going to shoot, and then it's going to be fucking on, right? And so we're gonna sprint and get into his shit as fast as we can, all right? Limit our signature. And once we say go, right, we're going to blast the shit out of him with our supporting arms. But until we get to that point, it's all stealth. So anyway, so we take off running, and they're running. Now, we've rehearsed this thing so many times. When they make contact, right, the lead unit, they flop to the ground, and they return fire. Right? Right? The second fire team, they go to the left, and the third fire team, they go to the right. So now everybody's online, which unmasks our firepower, okay? For those of you who haven't been or don't know. So boom, everybody can shoot. That's called unmasking your firepower. Now, the critical parts are when the two outboard fire teams, right, of the squad join people on their left and their right. And because you practice this so many times, the guys that are going to do that, they're looking for each other. They know who the fuck they're looking for. They know what the silhouette looks like at night. Guess why? Because you've done this so many fucking times. And guess what? Sometimes it gets screwed up. And you know what they knew how to do? They knew how to make the adjustment. Holy shit. We're too spread out, right? We're too spread out. We've got to move back towards our center and give them room because they're trying to deploy. And what does that guy do? He doesn't shoot. Weapons on safe. He goes to the guy inboard from him and says, hey, man, bounce to the left. Then he bounces. Hey, man, bounce to the left. Got it. And so in one or two rushes, this thing, you know, begins to get adjusted. How do they know how to do that? Because we practice the shit out of it. And now we've got, you know, 50 Marines online, lieutenants. We got machine guns shooting. We got illumination going. I mean, the whole fucking carnival's going. In the attack. Live fire. Yeah. And we would have gunnery sergeants and staff sergeants come from Fleet Marine Force units, and they'd do this shit with them. They'd be shit in their pants. They'd never done anything like that in the fleet. And then it was always interesting in the AARs and the critiques that we do afterwards. They would say, I was not excited about this. I heard about this, but I've never done anything like this in the Fleet Marine Force. And, you know, to be honest with you, the thought of doing it with lieutenants scared the shit out of me. But the way we did this and how good it was, I've never been so motivated at night in my life. This was awesome, man. It was awesome. And so you sit there and you hear that thing. Well, how the fuck can we not be doing that when we refuel? How does the F-35 hit the refueler? Now, again, if you talk to F-18 man and talk to most pilots, they'll tell you, well, I mean, I've seen him clip the hose. I've seen him fuck up the basket. No, no, no. I'm talking about hit the aircraft, man. Like, fuck, are you kidding me? So, I mean, think today. Today, yesterday afternoon, should have broke a story that had the deaths of 8 more Marines in broad daylight, in fucking training, doing something that we're supposed to be able to do. I bag on the Navy all the time. The Marine Corps is going down the same fucking road. And that's that road of undisciplined, fucked up. The Navy just had a ship burn up at tied up at a pier. Are you fucking kidding me? And now something I've never seen in my career, I've seen twice in the span of 24 months. Mid-air collisions between a tanker and somebody refueling at that tanker. Never seen it in my entire career. Not twice in 24 months. Is that a trend? I don't fucking know. But I do know this. I know fucked up when I smell it. I smell fucked up. And I smell it all over the place. And it starts with this bullshit that the Secretary of the Navy rolled out. His letter about your fucking benefits, about your rights, about how you feel. Well, how about this? We'll worry about that when you can do your motherfucking job. How about that, sports fans? You want to? Let me tell you what's being cooked. Right? If you smell what the Rock is cooking, yeah. Let me tell you what's being cooked. Somebody's ass kicking by the Chinese is being cooked. That's what's getting cooked. So, this is dedicated to everybody out there to get your head out of your fucking ass, because when you go play You Bet Your Life, you don't come back from that if you fuck it up. And I don't care if you fuck it up in training or if you fuck it up in the real world. You don't come back. People's fathers and mothers get dead, and you got to live with it forever. Okay? That's why you're not fucked up. That's why you rehearse it, and you rehearse it, and you do it by the fucking numbers. So I don't know what went on in the sky over Palm Springs yesterday, but I do know this. I know fucked up when I smell it, and I smell fucked up. So this is dedicated to the proposition that being fucked up gets people killed, and that's a bad thing. And the Navy is way the fuck down that road. And the Marine Corps, diddy-bopping at a distance, along with the rest of the services. So, boys and girls, time to unfuck yourself. Hey, we'll talk about your GI Bill benefits at your TAP class, okay? Until then, be good at what you do. The nation's force and readiness? Fucking good one, man.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him.
People fucking up training keeps him awake at night, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
That's the best.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather here. Here's a text message. Dude, nice rant. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, let me tell you. I mean, think about it. You know, I don't know. What are the odds that two aircraft have a collision or clip each other or whatever the fuck? Because if you just have a hose event, right, if the F-35 mangles and fucks up the hose, right, then the KC-130 is not landed in a fucking field. I mean, think about that. Bullshit. And then we're, you know, in that letter from the SECNAV. Nothing about excellence. Yesterday, in the interview with the commandant that I played, right? What's the first thing that he got asked about, right? Was all your social rights and all that other bullshit that's going on. Topic number one. Gender equity, racial equity. That's all. Hey, that's all important. I got it. After you kick somebody's ass, that's important, okay? Because if you don't kick somebody's ass, guess what? It ain't important. All those dead bodies you got to deal with, that's what's fucking important. All those families that are now coming to reunions because their kid can't go, that's important. Currently, it is partly sunny and 66 in Quantico, down the coast of Camp Lejeune. It is sunny and 70, Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, sunny and 81, Pendleton. Yeah, this ain't right. Sunny and 83, that's a bad sign, sports fans. That means it's going to be hotter than shit here on the coast. Oh, well, yeah, we're going to get in the 90s today, evidently. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 70, Okinawa. Dark, cloudy, and 76 down under in Australia. Darwin, you know. It is dark, cloudy, and 82. Darwin in the mid-90s these days. And in Oslo in Norway, it is cloudy and 55. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is fair and 73 degrees. Looking for a high of 91 today. 89 tomorrow, 84 on Friday. So those temperatures have all been revised downward. So I hope they're right, because a lot of times they're wrong, which pisses me off. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I will do a little bit of news now that I'm still pissed. Okay. Something I've never seen in my life happens now twice in 24 months. And you think? Get us a longer hose? You know? Why can't we have 1,000 feet of hose in that thing? Amazon has it at probably one of its fulfillment centers, really close to Palm Springs. Get the extension hose and put it on. But keep the idiots away from the KC-130s, okay? Because they keep bumping into them. What the fuck, man? Really? $100 million of airplane got drove into the ground. Yeah, so even if you're not, like, concerned about somebody's loss, right, maybe you should be concerned about the fact that $100 million just got babooshed into the desert floor of California. Think about it.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform. So stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis, but sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, Reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Time for us to check the news a little bit. And then the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff did a little interview with the thing that the national – no, what's it called? What's the hotel, the Marine Hotel in San Francisco called? That place. Marine Memorial Hotel Foundation or something like that. So it's about a 30-minute interview that I'm going to play for you today. But if you want to know what kind of mood that I'm in.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
That's That's what I'm feeling. This is another one. When I'm in this mood, it's what I feel like.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. The truth is, right, we worry a lot about social issues, and we don't really worry about being good at what the fuck we're supposed to do. That's the truth, right? Which leads me to this conclusion.
Houston, we have a problem.
Exactly. We got a fucking problem, right? And the problem is that we got a PAO running the Navy. A PAO, public affairs officer, guess what? He became a politician. Now he's a secretary of the Navy. He's going to get, trust me, the Navy might not be able to do damage control, might not be able to fight the Chinese, but your GI Bill benefits, that shit's going to get straight, okay? Trust me. Your tuition assistance money, that the Air Force is cutting, by the way, tuition assistance is not GI Bill. It's like, it's a program that while you're on active duty, you can go to college, and even though that you do that on your own, you know, there's tuition assistance that'll pay for all or some of it. How about that? What a fucking deal. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So, I didn't want to go. Yeah.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
The whole clip is awesome.
I'm going to recommend to the disciplinary committee that you be expelled. Mr. Sims, you are a cover-up artist and you are a liar.
But not a snitch.
Excuse me?
No, I don't think I will.
Mr. Slade.
This is such a crock of shit.
Please watch your language, Mr. Slade. You are in the Barrett School, not a barracks. Mr. Sims, I will give you one final opportunity to speak up.
Mr. Sims doesn't want it. He doesn't need to be labeled still worthy of being a bad man. What the hell is that? What is your motto here? Boys, inform on your classmates. Save your hide. Anything short of that, we're going to burn you at the stake? Well, gentlemen, when the shit hits the fan, some guys run and some guys stay. Here's Charlie facing the fire, and there's George hiding in Big Daddy's pocket. And what are you doing? You're going to reward George and destroy Charlie.
Are you finished, Mr. Slade?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Yes!
I don't know who went to this place. William Howard Taft, William Jennings Bryan, William Tell, whoever. Their spirit is dead, if they ever had one. It's gone. You're building a rat ship here. A vessel for seagoing snitches. And if you think you're preparing these minnows for manhood, you better think again. Because I say you are killing the very spirit this institution proclaims it instills. What a sham. What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today? I mean, the only class in this act is sitting next to me, and I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact. It's non-negotiable. You know how I know? Someone here, and I'm not going to say who, offered to buy it. Only Charlie here wasn't selling.
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order. You don't know what out of order is, Mr. Trask. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too fucking blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place. Out of order. Who the hell do you think you're talking to? I've been around, you know. There was a time I could see, and I have seen, boys like these, younger than these, their arms torn out, their legs ripped off. But there is nothing like the sight of an amputated spirit. There is no prosthetic for that. You think you're merely sending this splendid foot soldier back home to Argonne with his tail between his legs, but I say you are executing his soul! And why? Because he's not a bad man. Bad men. You hurt this boy, you're gonna be bad bums. The lot of you. And Harry, Jimmy, Trent, wherever you are out there, fuck you too!
Yes!
Mr. Slade.
I'm not finished.
That's right.
As I came in here, I heard those words. Cradle of leadership. Well, when the bow breaks, the cradle will fall. And it has fallen here. It has fallen. Makers of men, creators of leaders, be careful what kind of leaders you're producing here. I don't know if Charlie's silence here today is right or wrong. I'm not a judge or jury, but I can tell you this. He won't sell anybody out to buy his future. And that, my friends, is called integrity. That's called courage. Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of. Now I have come to the crossroads in my life. I always knew what the right path was. Without exception, I knew. But I never took it. You know why? It was too damn hard. Now, here's Charlie. He's come to the crossroads. He has chosen a path. It's the right path. It's a path made of principle that leads to character. Let him continue on his journey. You hold this boy's future in your hands, committee. It's a valuable future. Believe me, don't destroy it. Protect it. Embrace it. It's going to make you proud one day, I promise you.
Then they start clapping, I think. Is that awesome or what? The full clip. That's awesome. There's not too many times in a movie that I stop and just listen. I'll give you three, though. This whole scene, right, it's about 6 minutes. Maybe I will. Do I need to do the news today? I mean, really? But this whole scene, the one with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, right? I mean, it's a hugely powerful scene.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
So, I'll play that in a second here. But I remember sitting up and just like, fuck yes. I remember watching Scent of a Woman. I don't know. My kids were watching it. My sons were watching it. And so I sat down. I started watching it. And I mean, and that monologue thing that he does is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And you know what struck me? Two things. In fact, I wrote one down. There's no prosthetic for a destroyed soul. Boom. Fuck, right? What a great line. In fact, I need to frame that and put that up someplace, man. That's awesome. The next thing is, it strikes me that Joe Biden, if you put Joe Biden and Donald Trump in that movie, who would they be? They'd be the guys that were snitching on Charlie. They wouldn't be Charlie. They'd be the snitches. Both of them would be. And there are candidates for president. I don't know why that hopped into my head, but it did. And then the other one is the fighting scene in the movie Gladiator. So my son's like, hey, let's go see Gladiator. I'm like, who's in it? They're like, Russell Crowe. I'm like, all right, I'll go see it. So John Patrick and I go to the theater in Grand Forks to see it. Now, I don't know who did the technical consulting on the movie Gladiator, but I think it was a former Marine. okay? The whole mannerisms of all the way they act, the way they look at each other, things they say, the way they do it is reminiscent. Is reminiscent. And I'm sitting in the theater and this thing starts to go. And I sit up in my seat at first. Then I'm leaning forward, right? With my knees are on my elbows are on my knees. And I'm leaning and I'm just like totally into this fucking scene in Gladiator. And then they start the fight and I'm like, and my kids are both watching me. They're like, oh my God, he's good. And I yelled to the theater, yeah. So when they started fighting, my kids are like, stop it. But I was fired up. I mean, three scenes in movies that have resonated with me. Here's one. Here's the whole scene from what? A Few Good Men.
Thanks, Danny. I love Washington.
Excuse me. I didn't dismiss you.
I beg your pardon.
I'm not through with my examination. Sit down.
Colonel.
What's that?
Punk.
I'd appreciate if he would address me as Colonel or Sir. I believe I've earned it.
Defense counsel will address the witness as Colonel or Sir.
I don't know what the hell kind of unit you're running here.
And the witness will address this court as Judge or Your Honor. I'm quite certain I've earned it. Take your seat, Colonel.
I used to spit Colonel out like that.
What do you want to discuss now? My favorite color?
Colonel, the 6 a.m. flight was the first one off the base?
Yes.
There wasn't a flight that left 7 hours earlier and landed at Andrews Air Force Base at 2 a.m.
Uh-oh.
Lieutenant, I think we've covered this, haven't we?
Your Honor, these are the Tower Chief's logs for both Guantanamo Bay and Andrews Air Force Base. Guantanamo log lists no flight that left at 11 p.m. and the Andrews log lists no flight that landed at 2 a.m. I'd like to admit them as defense exhibits Alpha and Bravo.
I don't understand. You're admitting evidence of a flight that never existed.
Well, we believe it did, sir.
Uh-oh. Somebody getting in
trouble. Defense will be calling Airman Cecil O'Malley and Airman Anthony Rodriguez. They were working the ground crew at Andrews at 2 a.m. on the 7th.
Your Honor, these men weren't on the list.
Rebuttal witnesses, Your Honor, called specifically to refute testimony offered under direct examination.
Oh, good job, Demi.
I'll allow the witnesses.
This is ridiculous.
Colonel, a moment ago, check the tower logs, for Christ's sake.
That's right.
We'll get to the airmen in just a minute, sir. A moment ago, you said that you ordered Lieutenant Kendrick to tell his men that Santiago wasn't to be touched.
That's right.
And Lieutenant Kendrick was clear on what you wanted?
Crystal.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick ignored the order?
Ignored the order?
Any chance he forgot about it?
No.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick left your office and said, the old man is wrong?
No.
When Lieutenant Kendrick spoke to the platoon and ordered them not to touch Santiago, any chance they ignored him?
You ever served in an infantry unit, son?
No, sir.
Like a
ever
man.
Ever served in a forward area?
No, sir.
Ever put your life in another man's hands? Asked him to put his life in yours?
No, sir.
We follow orders, son. We follow orders or people die. It's that simple.
Fact.
Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear?
Oh, my God. Really?
Crystal. Colonel, I have just one more question before I call Airman O'Malley and Airman Rodriguez.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
If you gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, and your orders are always followed, then why would Santiago be in danger? Why would it be necessary to transfer him off the base?
Santiago was a substandard Marine. He was being transferred.
That's not what you said. You said he was being transferred because he was in grave danger.
That's correct.
You said he was in danger. I said grave danger. You said, is there
any
other...
I recall what I said.
I can have the court reporter read back to you.
I know what I said. I don't have to have it read back to me like I'm...
Why the two orders? Colonel?
Sometimes men take matters into their own hands.
No, sir. You made it clear just a moment ago that your men never take matters in their own hands. Your men follow orders or people die. So Santiago shouldn't have been in any danger at all, should he have, Colonel?
You snotty little bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
This is awesome.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object!
And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor, you have
Marcus inside a bony transport!
Your Honor,
you doctored the logbook!
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
No.
I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
Uh-oh.
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
Somebody go to the brig. What? This trial is adjourned, Colonel? Colonel? Yeah, you could tweet Colonel. I used to say Wisconsin man? Napa hyphen Wisconsin man? He's now a hyphen guy. He used to laugh his ass off. Because these guys would come in where we were working in Afghanistan. And I'd say, hey, good morning, Colonel. And I was busting their balls, right? Oh, my God. He would laugh. He thought that shit was funny. Yeah, that's like the word sir. Like, you could say sir. Like, did you just tell me to fuck off when you said, yes, sir? Pardon me, sir? You heard me? Did you just tell me to fuck off? Oh, no, sir. You sure? Because, yes, sir, sounded like you told me to fuck off. Oh, no, sir, I would never. Okay, let's get that shit straight. So I'd say Colonel like that. Good morning, Colonel. But they were my friends. They always took it well. So anyhow, you know what? Here's another thing that struck me listening to that. We just went through that, right? You want me on that wall deep down in your cocktail parties and in places you can't talk about it. What do we just go through this with? Defunding the fucking police, right? Defund the police, defund the police, defund the police. Fuck, we're going to reinvent policing as we know it in our time. Now, city council people in Minneapolis asking their interim police chief, why is the crime rate going up? Defund the police? Oh, not so much. So you just saw a living, breathing, walking, talking example of this shit. Right? You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. And then in public, you're going to get up and shit all over me when you don't like something that happens in those fucking mean streets where people kill each other. And then we're going to play charades at the city council meeting. Bullshit, man. This country is going no place good. The DOD is going no place good. Because it's all about the same shit. It's all about the bizarro world of Twitter and Facebook, the way the world everybody wants it to be, but not the way it fucking is. And who's going to pay? There's going to be innocent people that lose their lives for these liberal bullshit ideas. Defund the fucking police. I mean, fucking clown show. So, anyway. All right, let me do a couple news headlines, and then we'll listen to Joe Dunford. SI. top story in Stars and Stripes. Marine Corps F-35B collides with refueler over California. The crews are safe. So that in the news. U.S. Embassy in Kabul paid $8.4 million for meals it did not need to a company called Dynacor. Congratulations to Dynacor and its shareholders. The destroyer USS Stout breaks a Navy record for consecutive days at sea. 208. Now, I went to sea, I want to say, for 103 days. Why is the Stout at sea for 208 days? The ship, commissioned in 1994, has been deployed in the Fifth Fleet's area of operation, which includes the Arabian Gulf, the Gulf of Oman, the Red Sea, and parts of the Indian Ocean. When the Stout reached 208 consecutive days at sea on Saturday, it surpassed the Navy's known record previously held by the Dwight Eisenhower Carrier Strike Group and the USS San Jacinto, which had remained at sea this year as a result of the coronavirus and because of operational requirements. The strike group is homeported in Norfolk, Virginia. But the Stout remained in theater. Stout is part of Destroyer Squadron 26, otherwise known as Desron 26, all you non-Black Shoe Navy types. The USS Stout has been instrumental in maintaining freedom of navigation in the region. Commodore Bob Belfield, commander of Coalition Task Force Sentinel. That's what we're doing in the Persian Gulf, right? The Stout spent 139 days at sea in support of the task force. Huh. The ship patrolled the Bab al-Mandeb and the Straits of Hormuz in support of the Eisenhower and the Nimitz. The Stout also conducted the first ever mid-deployment voyage repair period at sea and executed significant repairs, preservation, and preventive maintenance, all while underway. How about that? A couple other stories in Stars and Stripes. Don't forget what started a fire that didn't damage any machinery and injured 13 people on the USS Antietam. Don't forget that. Was that arson too? Okay, just memo. Another story that breaks squelch. This is from Stars and Stripes. Japan's defense ministry seeks $52 billion defense budget for next fiscal year, its largest budget ever. So that's a good sign. Japan finally waking up. Air Force tuition assistance to drop in 2021 because of budget concern. Yeah. The new $3,750 military tuition assistance cap for fiscal year 2021, down from $4,500, takes effect for college courses beginning on or after Thursday. So, what this meant was last year you could take up to $4,500 in college courses and your U.S. military would pay for it. How about that for a good deal? Yeah. Another headline. Pearl Harbor shooter showed signs of being a threat prior to killing civilians. Navy investigators said they were unable to determine why Seaman Gabriel Romero shot three civilians at Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard in December before turning the gun on himself, despite the sailor displaying a number of risk factors leading up to the incident, according to a report released yesterday. Quote, the evidence does not establish with certainty why Romero chose to shoot three civilians and then kill himself. But it does show that he had several stressors in his life in the months leading up to the shooting. In a 190-page redacted report of the investigation examining the shooting that happened on December 4th, the mental health of the 22-year-old Romero, the mental health services on the base, and the command climate of his ship. The investigation was completed in March and approved in July by Admiral Mike Gilday, the CNO. The CNO evidently had some kind of heart procedure. Did you know that? Yeah. A report in Navy Times. CNO fell ill, had heart surgery last month. Okay. When you fall ill, okay, you have diarrhea. You don't have a heart procedure. That's not what falling ill is. I know about falling ill. I don't fall ill very often, but sometimes I do. When I do fall ill, I don't have a heart procedure. Okay? I puke. I have the runs. Yeah, this appeared in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. Navy officials did not immediately respond for requests for confirmation of the report. What did I tell you about the Wall Street Journal? Why you should read it? Because you don't have to read all these other papers. Just read the Wall Street Journal. Great news, great opinions. Or you could even get your opinion if you're a lib. You can get your opinion someplace else. But the news is awesome. Gilday was helped by a passing Marine and was taken to a physician. What? That's not falling ill. Did he have a heart attack? The CNO was running at the Washington Navy Yard where he lives when he, quote unquote, fell ill. He was helped by a passing Marine. Sounds like he had a heart attack. He underwent heart surgery for pre-existing conditions about 2 weeks later. The Sea Service had not disclosed Gilday's health issues or surgery until the Wall Street Journal started asking questions. Wow. Anyway, yeah, CNO. Unbelievable. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Back to this shooter in Pearl Harbor, a machinist mate and auxiliary fireman assigned to the USS Columbia fast attack sub, right? He shot contractors and then killed himself. On the day of the shooting, he was on a security patrol and he had an M4 and an M9. Pretty basic stuff. The report, though, then goes on to say Romero was considered an insider threat, according to the report, and the investigators determined that he had long developing problems with an aggregate that in aggregate should have raised concerns about his mental condition. Why was he considered an insider threat? And if he was, why is he standing around with weapons? And this is something that pisses people off. The report concludes that if risk factors have been shared between medical professionals and his chain of command, the shooting might not have happened. And let me just tell you, this is something that happens in the mental health community. They don't want to tell us because we might boot him out of the Navy. And he doesn't want to get booted out of the Navy. But he's saying he's having homicidal ideations or suicidal ideations or both. And then the provider decides not to tell the chain of command, which they're bound to do once somebody ideates, whether suicidal or homicidal. Leading up to the shooting, Romero received 10 counseling papers, the second most in the command, for poor work performance being late for its duties, blah, 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 blah. At those counseling sessions, Romero became emotional, began to cry. Anyway, horrible. Horrible, 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 horrible. Let's see. USNI News. Top story is going to be there. Hudson recommends 581 ships, a new class of a corvette, as part of an input for Pentagon fleet plan. There's a report on Iraq and U.S. policy. Interesting. And then the headline about that same shooter that appears the article. I should have gone here first. Headline, investigation finds USS Columbia shooter was likely unfit to serve on submarines. Likely unfit to serve in the Navy. Next headline, Marine F-35B crashes after collision with KC-130 over California. All air crew recovered safely. Picture of the, actually it's a picture of the KC-130, which looks like made a belly landing. So that would tell you that what? And part of the housing of its starboard side outboard engine is gone. And there's fuel pouring out of the left wing. Yeah, it looks like irrigation water, but it's not. It's fuel. EPA is going to be all over somebody's ass. So, yeah, they made a belly landing, it looks like. Nice. Well done. Whoever the pilot was, congratulations, man. Sometimes it doesn't work out like that. The top story in Marine Corps Times, no doubt, will be that. Oh, my God, it's not. The top story, Marine Corps Times, North Carolina Marines warned not to jog at night because of a rabid coyote. And you heard General Berger talk about that yesterday, if you listened to that interview yesterday. And then down the page, Marine KC-130 and F-35 collide in California. How about that? So, top stories in Early Bird today. And then Joe Dunford. Number one on your hit parade today is, I say, Marine. Carrier-launched airstrikes hit ISIS targets in Iraq as USS Nimitz. Oh, hasn't been updated. All right, so we're done. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you'll hear the former chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff talking about leadership. Yeah, should be interesting. So, Dunford talking about leadership. Coming up next, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio right here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network coming up next. Blah, 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 blah.